is there anything more powerful than trans feminine age gap love?
Right? It's homosexual trans feminine age gap.
That's
love.
What I'm saying. Yeah. It's fucking data transfer episode 60, which is the sixth episode of the second season. And I'm Andre.
And I'm Karna.
We'll get to it. But Yole, trans, likes girls, likes Mimi.
Yeah.
Crazy.
This episode's so sick. I'm so excited for it.
It's tight as fuck. But first, we gotta say a bunch of bullshit at the top. Corla, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good the last couple of days. Been doing, putting myself to a lot of housework when I'm not asleep, which is a lot of the time. Because it's hot again for some fucking reason.
Yeah. Well, that was was Fool's Autumn.
I hate.
You know Fool's Autumn.
No,
you
don't.
Like you have a couple of crisp days. And you're like, ah, finally. The blazing sun has a... Oh, no, there it is.
Yeah, you start to switch out your wardrobe.
Yep.
And you gotta fucking pull all the sweatpants back out.
Yep.
Put them in the closet. No good at all. But I have been playing Vibeo James. Have a good time.
Vibeo Bam.
I've done a teensy little bit of Warframe lately, picking that back
up.
I've done a lot of Factorio.
Hell yeah.
I finished a vanilla run, did a little bit of like Infinite Science, and got
infinite
bored of that.
Science.
Yeah. Yeah, Infinite Research.
Mm.
But hi. I'm a little bit in it.
You're a little bit lit. You got any whiskey in that seltzer?
A little bit.
Hell yeah, that's what I thought. It looked a little yellow.
Yeah, piss.
You were so happy pouring that. I watched you pour that seltzer and you were just like, yay.
I like it with the bubbles.
I also like it when the bubbles.
How have you been, man?
You know, I'm okay. I did calculate that I'm working about 55 hours a week between digital media and my full-time job.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit about that.
It's a fucking lot. It's a fucking lot.
It's a lot.
And
I feel for
still,
you, babe.
I still feel no more financially secure or independent or healthy.
No, the hamster wheel is turning faster.
Yeah, just turning faster. Well, it does that. Just turns faster and faster and faster until you fall off and die. That's how it works.
That's why you find other people to help you.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for offering to... Do you want to edit RFTB now for free?
I mean, I'll take any of the audio shit you need done, absolutely.
Okay. I'll think about it, because RFTB is my little baby doll.
Yeah, but you also taught me how to edit.
I did. So you do it the same way I do it.
Yeah.
Minus 40 gain, minus 40 compressor, minus 2 limiter, eyeball the fucking audio tracks.
Yeah,
you kind of normalize with the eyeball. I don't do it, you know. A lot of people do it digitally, which is why sometimes on RFTB I'm a little louder than Donovan, or Donovan's a little louder than me. But what are you gonna do? And they're compressed, so it like gets it closer anyway. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's not bad.
It's not bad at all.
Little audio chat at the top of the show for my audio engineer listeners.
Have you been playing anything?
I have been playing First Descendant.
Uh-huh.
Again, more?
More of it.
And
how's
I've hit
Greg
a point.
Treating you?
Greg's okay. I've got Greg on farm status. Okay. You fight Greg, right? At the beginning of the game.
Yep.
The homie's name is Greg. He's a little intimidating.
Greg.
And then in 3 other points in the game, including in the final dungeon of the game, you fight enemies called genetically enhanced Greg clone.
Very funny.
There is also a weapon that you can get called Greg's Reversed Fate.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
And it's kind of neat because it's a gun that gives you Greg's signature ability, which is an artillery strike thing.
Ah.
So you get to You shoot enemies and you have a 10% chance. It's like a 2-round burst battle rifle that has a 10% chance on hit to cause a artillery barrage.
That sounds fun.
It's a pretty fun little gun. That's what I'm talking about. It's got good gunplay. The guns feel good. The legendaries all feel unique enough from each other. It's good.
I'm glad. Happy yeah, I'm for
having
you.
Fun. Having fun with it. I've played probably 2 hours in the past week because I've had no time for anything.
Aforementioned 55-hour work week.
Yeah. Oh, I made some accomplishments lately in my digital media career, and I still have not discussed whether or not I should be disclosing this publicly with the hosts of the other show that I am now editing.
Oh, well, then don't.
So I'm not going to. But what I wanted to say is, like, I got to thinking, wow, I got a job off of the strength of, you know, the editing work that I've done for Radio Free Topag for 6 years. So I got the job off the strength of that. And this is like a bigger podcast than RFTB. Like, more people listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, I'm going to make a fucking resume. So I wrote my digital media resume, and my intention is to shop it to, like, places that actually do radio and shit.
Yeah.
And see if I could get a day job doing this fucking thing. Like, independent media is great. It's like my love. It's my favorite thing in the world, and I wish I could make all my money off it. I might need to go into non-independent media.
Yeah. You gotta fund the passion.
Exactly. And if I could do that doing the thing that I'm doing that I love, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
More than selling furniture. Oh, also, our sales lead quit.
Yeah, the good one, right?
Yeah. Wait. She was cool. She was like, Audrey, this place treats you like shit. Like, it was her last day. And so she was like, Audrey, this place treats you like shit. You genuinely deserve better. And I'm like, yeah.
I've been saying that for a while.
Yeah. Like, what are you going to do? Oreo.
He decided he wants attention.
Look at the boy.
Look at your boy.
You can't see the boy, listener, but it's a very good boy.
He's a very good boy. He's a little confused.
And now he's gone.
And indecisive.
Yeah, so we'll see what comes of that. It feels good to have 6 years in digital media laid out on a little piece of paper that you can show to people. It feels pretty cool.
I mean, yeah, collating your accomplishments does feel pretty neat.
Yeah, it's awesome. I was able to say, performed improvisational comedy with people like Alex Patak, Kath
Barbadoro. Comedy comes in threes.
I did five because I was like, I said Brendan Brown from Wheatus was one of the people that I noted on my resume. I was going to do John McAfee, but I was like, that's too weird that I did that.
I was the one that suggested John McAfee right off the bat.
Right.
Just like, go hard, go big.
Probably monetarily the biggest guest we've ever had, like the richest person we've ever had on the show. But like, for evil reasons.
For evil reasons, sure. He's also dead, so he can't, like,
that's right,
give you maybe a negative.
Oh, yes, it can't be a reference. What if John McAfee was a reference on my fucking resume?
I, like, you should have done that while you had the chance.
I, like, go to iHeart and I'm like, hi, I heard you need like a programming director for this market. I was wondering if that's completely outside the scope of my capabilities, but like,
yeah, you would have to basically like put me in an Audrey suit to do that for you.
To do program direction?
Oh, not programming.
Yeah, programming.
Sorry. No, you mean like middle management bullshit.
Middle management, like talent development and, you know.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I know. It's such a bummer.
Get these corpo buzzwords out of here, corpo pig.
Shrimp Slag this fucking off. Pig. Shrimp this fucking corpo pig.
Hate this shit.
You want to talk about Digimon?
I do, real quick.
Yeah. Couldn't hear it.
That's fine. I'll just cut that out.
I can smell it though. That's weird.
No.
No, I farted. That's why I can smell it. This episode is entitled A Dangerous Picnic in the Japanese, or Family Picnic in the English version. And the synopsis begins like this. This section of the article is a stub. You can help by expanding it. Which to me, I'm like, is no one writing ship fiction about this episode in the wiki? What the fuck?
This trans girl is a sub. You can help by expanding her. Hi, Shannon.
I like that a lot. I like that. Mimi, who now lives in America, comes to visit Japan for inexplicable reasons, and she appears to come by herself, and she's just a teenager and just like, I'm going to fly from US to Japan by myself. I guess it's kind of like going home, but it's like, seems a little weird to me.
I mean, she's going to her cousin's wedding, right? Presumably she's got her itinerary all planned out and where she's going to stay.
That.
You missed it. It's in the fucking card that you took a snip of.
Oh, it's because I was taking a snip of it that I didn't see it.
I got to give you a second to, like, do discovery on the notes. Yeah,
exactly. I got to fucking go through and review this for the prosecution.
Yeah.
She finds the new Digidestin, and they have a nice picnic in the digital world. That's not exactly what happens. She finds the Digidestin, and they are going to have a nice picnic in the
digital they're
world.
Planning on it. They're grabbing like shit from Yole's mom's house, the bakery they run.
Yeah. She's
they're prepping
two,
for it.
Two tuna mayos, two bonito, orange soda, and then I think like he's not Hawkmon in this world. He's the smaller version of Hawkmon. What's his Digimon name?
Pururumon.
So Pururumon is sitting in Yole's bag and presumably is like saying, no, get the crisps. Get the salt and vinegar ones. Like, because Yole's like, oh, and one of these. Like she remembered or was like, or was probably told by Pururumon that he wants the snack. And her mom goes, that's suspicious.
And she goes, no, it's not.
No, it's
bye.
Not. Later.
What an amazing exchange. She's the best character in the show so far.
She's amazing. We love her. We stand Yole. it's awesome, too, because we wake up in Daisuke's room, like a fucking episode card. Or no, it's not even the card. I'm very tired. We get like a cut to Daisuke's room and it's trashed. It's just like just garbage.
Holy
and
moly.
Fucking shit all over the place. And I'm like, damn, Daisuke, you live like this?
Well, apparently his family fucking hates him. So,
yeah, right.
At the very least, his sister is like, oh, my brother, he's a piece of shit trash.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you had to live with somebody who, I mean, you know what it's like. But so we wake up in there and I immediately like it was trashed enough that I was like, this is a bad environment for Chibimon. Chibimon shouldn't have to grow up like this. But Chibimon does a really adorable fucking thing.
Yeah, he does the small dog who hasn't been fed yet thing.
Yeah. He like lifts himself up over the edge of the bed. He's like, Daisuke! Daisuke! with the alarm going off, and it's very, very fucking cute. And I didn't really appreciate how cute Chibimon is, like, until he was sitting on Daisuke's tummy saying his name.
Yeah, just like up. Bouncing up and down on top of him to wake him up.
Adorable. Very, very
so
cute. And then Yori is getting ready to bang out, but he sees Punimon, like, out about in the house, like hiding under a basket, and he's like, no, you can't do that. Because they're going to discover your ass and you're going to get dissected for science, and that's no good. And Punimon's like, hey, you know, your mom's making something weird. And it shows us her cutting pieces of, it's nori wrapped around rice, and the rice is wrapped around nuts, apparently.
Bird seeds?
Right?
That's what it looked like to me.
Weird.
Like, is this crow sushi? That's awesome. I would love to hand crow sushi.
Here you go. Like off a chopstick with a little soy sauce on it.
Yeah. Just put them on the end of chopsticks. Go stick the chopsticks in the dirt and just step away. Let the crows have them.
Sushi made with unagi nuts and avocado. I've just found. Yeah. Okay. That looks fucking good, actually.
Yeah. I could see the avocado giving you the like texture in between the seeds that you want.
And some of them, it's apparently you do, unagi nuts.
And I like crunchy stuff on top of my sushi, so it's not that weird.
Yeah, I can see that being good.
Still, yeah, peanut, it does look avocado, like it's for birds.
Peanut avocado sushi roll. Apparently it was fucking peanuts from what we're seeing. Okay. It's just peanuts in a sushi roll. That sounds like that'd be good.
Sounds good.
But anyway, and Iori's like, fuck yeah, I'm going to bring that to the picnic. It's so cool. Thanks, Mom. They all meet up and they're walking to go into the school. It's a school holiday. So they're like, well, let's all get together. It's Golden Week. It's Golden Week. Let's all go get together and go to the digital world and have a picnic.
Yeah, let's all go unlock motorcycle stuff for the rest of the game. What happens in Golden Week?
There's a video game called Golden Week?
Persona 4. Oh. You know, the Persona games, you're going to Japanese high school.
Yeah.
So the holidays kind of come up.
Yeah, it becomes a factor. It's like, is it roughly analogous to like spring break?
Pretty much.
Sure. Hi, it's me. You're all in danger. Never getting pussy because I'm such a hater. Got my finger on the detonator. Crazy girl shit. Gonna go spring breakers.
Like a parked car.
One night we just started saying like every lyric was parked car.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Shout out to Childish Gambino, who has shed that moniker. He's decided that he is no longer to be addressed as Childish Gambino in any context.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Just Donald Glover now.
Okay.
Cool. I better not catch you dead naming. Don't dead name Donald Glover.
I don't tend to refer to him in general, so.
No, he's a little, he's not irrelevant to my life because he's made some music I really love. But like, he's one of those guys that you're like, oh yeah, you exist. So they make their way to the school and there's a really cool cut the way they do it. They like creep up to the gate like Scooby-Doo style and then they push the gate open and then in a flash they're inside the gate and they're like, what I thought was a pretty cool animation trick.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, they cut right to this. So I'm gonna read the entirety of what we've covered so far.
Okay.
In the wiki, Mimi, who now lives in America, comes to visit Japan. She finds the new Digidestin, and they have a nice picnic in the digital world. That's what we've gotten to so far in this synopsis. And then it says, Yole and Mimi get split up from the group because one of their sushi rolls went tumbling down a hill and Hawkmon went after it.
Armadillomon fucking chucks that bitch. He's like, oh, you want some food? Fucking get it, asshole.
Go get it, slud.
I like to watch you run after it. He's just perving on Hawkmon.
Yeah. So they do get separated from the group and they end up in a dark area that has a control spire or dark tower, as it's called in the Japanese version. They are then assailed by a swarm of Otamamon and Gekkomon, and Mimi's like, don't worry about it. They're my friends. I'm their god.
They worship me.
And then, but the best part is, the first thing we see of them is red eyes in the darkness.
Yes.
She's like, don't worry about it.
It's no fucking deal.
You know, that like classic, there's that classic benign thing in animation where it's just red eyes in darkness? But she quickly realizes that that is not the case, that these are the ones who were not serving her when she was living like a princess in their palace, until she sees the Dark Rings have brainwashed them. But right as it looks like they're about to get killed by a bunch of rookie levels, rookie baby, or is Geckomon champion?
I think Geckomon's a champion.
Is Geckomon a champion? Geckomon champion? Question mark.
Champion level Digimon, water virus type.
Wow. So a bunch of rookies and champions. I mean, I could see, I would be embarrassed if I got killed by a bunch of rookies, but I think I could live with getting killed by a champion.
Yeah, getting mobbed by champions and rookies. Yeah. That's fine.
That's fine. But if it was like a single, like if a fucking Agumon walked up and set me on fire and I died, I'd be like, damn it. I thought I could take a rookie. Come on.
I don't know. Rookies still have magical powers.
They do still have magical powers and can fly and shit and are
like
3 feet tall.
It's hard to be an abusive Pokemon trainer because each and every one of them could melt you into human slag in a moment.
And just when it looks like it's dark, we're at our darkest, like they're totally fucked, vines shoot out of the underbrush and snatch up Hawkmon Yole and
we were both
Mimi.
So excited.
Yeah, I pogged. You know,
also
what?
She grabs Mimi around the head,
about
just, like,
the
wraps
head
around
and
her face, and like Mimi's like turned the other way. She has to get like she gets ripped like a lever turning the opposite direction. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, that can't be good for your neck.
But the second she, you know, she doesn't have time to be paralyzed because the second she sees the second she sees Palmon, she's like, oh my god, it's Palmon! And
they
have like
cry. They
have a tearful reunion. Yeah, it's really good.
The second they see each other, it's just the waterworks start and I start crying and wing.
Yeah, a little crying, yeah. Pretty soon after that, the Digimon Kaiser is alerted to this somehow. Of course, he has his network of spies. And they're like, yo, Mimi and Yole are about to les out in the woods. You better go fucking stop that.
He's also got his like radar that sees the entire fucking world.
Yeah. So he's like, oh, I'm going to send the Gokimon brothers.
He's like, ah, two girls out on their own. I got to send the idiot sexual harassers.
I got to send the asshole sexual harassers. Absolutely. And they skitter up because they're fucking cockroach Digimon.
Yep.
Oh, wait, hold on. You got to cue me up.
Oh, yeah. Describe Roachmon for me. Gokimon, whatever.
Punk cockroach.
They've got like skull tattoo on their arm.
Yeah, they got skull tattoo, like Demi Devimon's forehead tat.
They're both dumb as bricks.
So stupid.
And it's this like red oni, blue oni, like Rakugo style comedy bit.
Damn. Look at you with the cultural references.
Yeah, Gigi's gonna love that one. Simon's probably gonna like have something to correct about it. I don't care.
Oh, in the synopsis here, it's like, but Palmon saves them. Then the Roachmon brothers attack them with an exclamation point.
I mean, it is pretty quick. There's the tearful reunion, and then there's, hello, little girls, do you want to date me?
Yeah. Ooh, we hate
and
that
they're
shit.
Like, no. And he's like, oh, man, you hurt me and my bro's feelings. My bro's really sensitive to rejection, you know.
Now we have to throw garbage at you.
Now we have to throw hands. And by hands, I mean trash.
Yeah. Hawkmon armor digivolves and takes advantage of the Roachmon's stupidity, making him accidentally damage the control spire. So they start hucking trash at him, and then they like pop up out of the fucking trash pile, and they're like, ugh, gross. Is that all you got? And then a piano falls out of the fucking sky in front of them, and they go, oh, shit.
They're like, oh, God, we're going to get Roger Rabbited.
We're going to get fucking Roger Rabbit, like anvils and refrigerators and shit just falling out of the sky.
Literally how Eddie's brother died.
But Hawkmon eventually
killed my brother.
shoots a very powerful laser beam. They get distracted and they kind of go off course. And then they slam into the control spire like they're throwing the Gokimon kick. they're like, they team up and they're like, Gokimon kick, and they like shoot off into the distance because Hawkmon dodges, and then they're like, Gokimon chop, and then they're like, block, turn and kick it. Kick, punch, kick, 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 punch. And they destroy the control spire. And as soon as they do that, Togemon becomes in the episode because Palmon digivolves into Togemon. Uh-huh. And shoots him with 1,000 needles, and they're like, ah, fuck, ah, God, no, I'm covered in needles, it sucks. And so they retreat. Oh, no, Togemon destroys the rings, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so Togemon destroys the rings, and then they're like...
And then their brotherly love immediately dissipates, and they begin to beat the shit out of each other.
And
there's like a DBZ brawl happening across the landscape. The two girls are like, I think we did a bad one this time.
They're like, oh man, they were better off under servitude of the Digimon Kaiser. That's crazy.
Oh no.
So the Rochemon brothers immediately get into an argument that turns physical. I love the way that's phrased.
Yeah, it's just, you stole my food. You stole my food. I will kill you.
I will fucking murder you. Yole, and much to Mimi and Yole's disbelief and shock. And then the synopsis goes, they then get back to Davis and the others and return to the real world. Oh, they do mention this.
Huh?
Very kind of obliquely.
Huh?
Apparently, Yole really looks up to Mimi.
Really looks up to her.
Really
she has
looks up to her.
A new tennis segment, fantasy moment, where she's daydreaming about embracing Mimi while they're both in like high fashion dresses.
They're in high fashion dresses. Their hair is flowing. There's sparkles around them.
They're approaching like they're gonna smooch.
Yeah.
It's just like this gal likes gals.
I was like, oh my God, canonical lesbian Digimon character.
Yeah.
Who is headcanon trans.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we're gonna be real fucking upset at the end of this season.
Yeah, probably.
As I recall, they like pair people off.
Because that would like they didn't do that in the first season, which I was happy about. But I remember being a child and watching this and being like, "When's Ty and Sora gonna start dating?"
Gross.
You know what I mean?
Terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when Ty has like 20 more years of growth, that's when.
Sure. Yeah, 100%. But that's like when you're a child. That's where your mind kind of goes if you're like a pervert like I am.
It's no, like, I, yeah, absolutely.
Why are they not in love with each other? They've been through so much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I get you. As a kid, I was just like, I want to be Mimi. I want to be Sora. I want nothing bad to ever happen to them, and I get very upset when it does.
I always wanted to be Ogremon.
This explains a lot.
And so I ended up a non-binary trans woman, you know, like
I mean,
Ogremon.
You become Ogremon when you're drunk, so it works.
Do I? All right. Just dumb as shit in the kind of the life of the party.
Yeah, you pop out of a barrel in the ocean.
Ah!
And attack me. I know, but you do play magic the way Ogremon probably would play magic when you're drunk.
Poorly.
Which is to say mean as hell and a little bit sloppy.
Did I actually make any good plays that game?
No.
No, I did not. No.
I mean, you dicked me over pretty good, but nice. You didn't make any plays that let you take the board.
Or, like, advantage me in any way. I just dicked
no,
you.
No, you're just like, you can't have that one.
No, kill it. I think I made it, like, four turns, and then never, we were all like, okay, let's call it.
Yeah.
I was real drunk. So, it's time to rate this episode on a scale of Rookie Mega. That's the other one.
That's the other one.
Would you please rate this on a scale of Rookie Mega?
Oh, is there no drop for the rate?
No, there's no drop for the rating.
Silly me. I thought I remember there being one.
There's one for Digital Champion, but
I'm gonna rate this one. I'm gonna give it a Mega.
Wow.
Okay, here's the thing. The episode in general is not deserving of a Mega.
Mm-hmm.
However, the revelation of Yole being lesbian for Mimi, specifically the other best girl, is so strong to me and makes me so fucking happy that I'm just
power
like,
couple.
Yeah, I have been so excited to talk about that part of this episode ever since I saw it. I was like, oh. And they fight. She fucking yells after her at the end of the episode.
Bingo.
Yeah, she's like, hey, spending time with you was so fucking good. They both say bingo at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm gay.
Yeah, I'm pretty gay too.
I love when the girls experience close emotional bonds.
It's pretty strong. In a way that, like, Mimi and Sora really never got to do.
Right. Like, I think they had an episode together.
Yeah, one little bottle. Where I think they both got hit on by something gross.
That was the, when she's the fucking goddess.
That's right.
Sora's doing the fucking Black Ranger thing and sneaking around helping folks.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, and so it's mostly just Sora going, hey, maybe don't wear out these people's trust and goodwill in you.
What if you don't fuck them over?
Yeah,
it's pretty much where she's at.
Yeah, Mimi's just like, nah, I'm gonna pull a Kazuma move, actually. This is Konosuba now. I'm gonna sexually harass some frogs.
Go sing for them and wake up their king, shithead. she eventually does that.
But yeah, Mega for
sing
me.
A song!
Oh, God.
A song that'll wake you up.
That had to have been better in Japanese.
Oh, my God. We should... Let's try to remember for the next episode. We'll grab that and we'll play that.
Okay, yeah. We'll do a little comparison.
Because Mimi's back in the fucking series temporarily.
Mimi's fucking back.
We don't know how long that's going to go or when she's coming back. But it was very exciting to see her. And for that reason, I'm going to give it an ultimate. Because... Well, I could, you know what? I could probably go Mega if I'm going to be easy on it. I'm probably going to go Mega because I like the design of the Gokimon. And I, of course, am just nuts about Yolei.
You were here for their shtick. You were laughing.
Yeah, I was liking it. I was liking their shit. Yeah, I'm going to
give it Mega. I'm telling you, Rakugo's good.
Good comedy beats. Good character design on those two. Their teeth are funny. They're like big, crooked, fucking broken
yeah,
teeth.
They're like. They're like Tom and Jerry piano dropped on your head teeth.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, they were fun. They were fun. The episode was fun. And the now created tension between Yolei and Mimi is great.
But Mimi's going to leave again. She's only here for her cousin's wedding.
Yeah, she's going to go back to the States. Well, what's more trans feminine than a fucking long distance relationship?
Oh, fuck.
Name it. You can't.
You can't. You literally can't. Pickle frotting.
Pretty close.
You grab a pickle.
Yep.
You hold it between two people's dingers, or just like adjacent to both of them. You put the and dingers head to head, and you rub the pickle over them.
You like, you get two pickles, and you have a third friend of yours roll them around the wieners. Pretty good.
I had no follow-up for that, because you killed me.
So the drop for this next thing we're going to do is still this.
Pussy 2.
But we're going to talk about Magic the Gathering cards for a minute.
Because guess what? No one wants to fuck Roachmon.
No one wants to fuck Roachmon. There's not even like a cool fan art thing of them. There's not even like somebody being like, wow, Roachmon's so fucking cool and funny and I want to be just like him.
No, there's nothing. There's like one thing of a Roach. There's like one image I could find. And it's just Roachmon pointing at some Digimon I don't know's boobs.
That's pretty good.
Okay. All right, I'll get that for
Where's
you.
Where's that? We'll do that, and then we'll do a couple. So let's see here. Let's open this up. Oh, yeah, it's like a queen of some kind. Some kind of like...
She's called Sanzomon.
Sanzomon. What's she from? Like, where is she in the series?
You could come every 24 hours.
Is that what it says?
On, like, the Rule 34 Pahil sites, there's a come on this button.
Oh,
gross. I like seeing you can come every 24 hours. It makes me laugh.
Two of the characters in its five-part crown read evil and seal on the crown of Sanzomon. It's a monk Digimon. It's journeying around the digital world to achieve enlightenment, and it overcomes many difficult ordeals. And its training, it imposes asceticism on its body day and night. And although Sanzomon doesn't carry any weapons at all, it unleashes various techniques by reciting sutras.
Wow. There's a lot of porn in this one. We're going to get a lot of that when we get to Cross Wars.
Oh, it's in Cross Wars. Okay. And Gokimon, you see like his shoulder and you see like the tattoo.
It almost gives me the impression of like the Danganronpa fucking like murderer sprite when you don't know their identity yet. They're just a gray silhouette.
Yeah.
Like this this is like the middle of the main character solving the murder.
Yeah. Do your best impression of the text, because I don't have the translated text in front of me. Do the translated text of what Gokimon is saying. They don't have a translation for it?
No! There's no comments or anything that translate it.
Why wouldn't they?
I will fucking know. If this was on E6, there would be, but it's not.
Yeah.
Also, I'm not supposed to be going to E6 anymore still.
Oh, it's bad again? Been bad?
But it's continued to be bad. I'm just lazy.
And, oh, my phone does recognize it as text.
Yes. What's he saying?
Give me a translate option, shitter.
Give me a translate option, shitter.
Copy that. Can I paste it into a search box? No, my keyboard doesn't work right. Anyway, he's like pointing at her boobs and is saying something like asking her a question.
Yeah.
Probably something along the lines of, will you suck my roach dick? Will you suck my roach dick?
Masha, can you hear me?
So, one final thing we gotta do here, we gotta choose our digital chain. Oh, wait,
he's saying, Anka wa zetai daze wakateru yona. Which is, it has to be cheap. You know that, right? At least that's what the translation says.
Yo!
So he's like propositioning her.
Fuck me, I'm broke!
Fuck me, I'm broke.
That's nuts.
That is nuts. I'm glad we went on that journey.
Me too. That's really fucked up.
Fuck me, I'm broke.
It has to be cheap, right? So in the interest of keeping the Magic the Gathering segment on theme for the episode, I think I want to do Roachmon, and you can do whoever you'd like from the episode.
I'm going to do Mimi and Palmon.
Nice. Okay. We had kind of developed we're developing a little bit of a design document for how these Digimon Pokemon cards or Digimon Magic cards would work.
Digimon Pokemon Magic card. Beef.
Each of the Digidestined and their Digimon would be, did we decide on partner commanders or
yes,
a single card like Thalia and Gitrog? Partner.
It's partner or doctor's companion or whatever. But with Digidestined.
Yeah. And the way I figure it is that the Digimon is a monocolored companion.
Yep.
Or monocolored Digidestined or partner. Yeah, it would say partner with Mimi.
Yeah.
As the text.
Or it would say like the main kids would have like a type Digidestined, right?
Sure.
And then there would be a doctor's companion equivalent for the Digimon to have as a keyword.
Could you then cross pair? Could you like run Tai?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You can do Tai and Wormmon. You can do Mimi and Gomamon, whatever.
That'd be sick. Okay.
So that you can get like your two color or three color combos. I figure most of the kids are going to be also monocolor. But some of them will have two.
Like Ken, we decided it was Orzhov.
Yeah.
So yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So anyway, you do yours. Roachmon.
Okay. Roachmon is a 3-1 first strike for 2BB. Like, pretty susceptible to getting hurt, like, pretty easy to kill, but will hit you really hard before you get a chance to. And then you can pay one colorless to put a trash counter on a creature an opponent controls. Creatures with trash counters on them lose first strike.
Okay.
Because you bury them in garbage and then they can't fight back and you hit them really hard while they're buried in the trash.
I like it. I might point.
It's a little.
The universe
powerful,
is beyond abilities, like always just from them. They never get folded into the main stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So no. Tokens
actually,
wouldn't be
actually,
an
that's
option.
Not true. That's not true. The universe is beyond. No, wait. No, you're right. The universe is beyond stuff can exist only as itself. The secret lair stuff. Say they did that Street Fighter secret lair. Mm-hmm. Every one of those cards will eventually be a design in the game.
Okay, cool.
Like in the main game. So all secret right. lair always comes in, universes beyond doesn't.
Because what I was going to suggest is some kind of junk token
mm-hmm.
Generation.
Okay. Do we have junk tokens in the game already?
Yeah, junk token is a Fallout thing.
Oh, I didn't pay too much attention.
That's why I was asking about universes beyond.
junk token is... Is it just... It's
tap, sacrifice,
exile
this artifact.
The top card you made look at. Yeah. That could be cool. That might actually be a better effect for him, in which case I would put him in Rakdos and have some kind of junk token effect. Like
yeah,
when this,
like when it when, hits a player.
When this creature deals combat damage at all, create a junk token.
Or just when it attacks.
Yeah, or like when it ETBs and when it attacks.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, pay two, deal X damage to target creature or planeswalker equal to the number of junk tokens you control.
Gotcha. All right.
That'd probably be more expensive than that. Pay three or four. Anyway.
Yeah, like two in Rakdos or something.
Yeah, two in Rakdos. Damage to... And you'd have to tap him too, probably, because you don't want to repeat that.
Yeah, that makes some sense.
Yeah. All right, which... What abilities and cost and who would do the artwork and what's the flavor text on Mimi and Palmon?
Oh, it's got to be the person doing the new Digimon World Games art. The guy behind the Devil Survivor series as well. That character design. So I'm going to pick Mimi and Palmon. They're going to be two cards that are meant to go together, but the Digidestined things allows you to swap partners around.
We are polyamorous, aren't we?
I'm going to say that Palmon is just mono green.
Okay.
It's like, I'm going to say she's a 3-3 reach with nothing else going. Or 3-3 reach, Digidestined. I guess something like Saprolings, maybe?
Because she doesn't really make any, she doesn't really spawn anything. Like, it makes sense thematically for a character of that kind. I was going to say pay one and tap target creature.
Oh, for the bind. That makes a lot of sense. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
You could maybe even have it, you may choose to not have Palmon untap during your untap step, and the target creature is tapped as long as Palmon remains tapped.
Or maybe like a 3-1 reach.
Okay. I said the best idea.
3-1 reach with like exert, and if you exert it, it fights target creature with flying as if it had first strike.
That's kind of cute. I was thinking like 3-2 with that tap ability I described, vigilance also. So you can beat with her, tap her, tap something down and hold it down for as long as you keep her tapped.
Yeah, okay.
That'd be so cool.
I like that.
Because you get a little beat with her, too.
Mimi, meanwhile, is going to be a treasure token creator. She's going to be
nice.
Red, I think.
Okay.
And she's going to be like, I want to say 1 and 2 red. She's not a... Are they planeswalkers?
Are the Digidestined planeswalkers?
They can
do
travel
they have
dimensions.
Fucking... They...
Do they have the spark?
Oh, my God. I don't think they have a spark, but I definitely think they have the same rules as a planeswalker.
Okay, so they're planeswalkers.
Maybe they're a different
then.
Thing. You know what I mean? Maybe they're a Digidestined, and it functions exactly like a planeswalker.
Okay,
but...
Mimi, planeswalker. Plus one, or comes down with 3 loyalty tokens. Plus one, create a tapped treasure token.
Okay.
Minus two, shit. Planeswalkers have a lot going on.
They do. What if it's like Because what does she do in the show, and what's her crest? You know what I mean?
She's got the fucking...
The beam gleam thing, when they would run into... like when Manzaemon attacked them, and her Digivice was just like, no, you love us.
-2, goad target creature an opponent controls.
Okay, so it has to attack, but not you.
And -7... create an emblem
at the beginning of your upkeep, gain control of target creature.
Yeah,
that'd be a hell of an emblem.
She becomes like, she's like ruling over Digimon at one point.
Yeah,
I feel like she should have some fucking Ariette style shit going on.
Damn, at the beginning of your upkeep you gain control of target creature
until end of turn, I would say.
Okay, I so was gonna have it. I was gonna have it be you just start yanking shit, like because if you can get
-7 get for an emblem,
-7 for a planeswalker that starts with 3 and gets +1 off its ability.
Yeah, at you best actually you can get that in one turn with doubled tokens.
You cannot, or double counters. Get 6 because if she starts with 3 and you double it, you get 6. You don't even get up to your 7.
Yeah, you would need one turn like that before you could access your
emblem. Exactly. So I think that would make. I think that would make a lot of sense.
Okay, like, yeah, I like nuts. That. Mimi's just like a fucking pop star, and she starts bringing everyone to her side.
Yeah, and she does...
And she's got Palmon out as like a good defender.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that's not really in the red color pie, permanent control.
No. So she what if it's... want to be blue or white, right?
Yeah, what if it... Yeah, blue and white do that. What if it's -... 2 gain control of target creature until end of turn and goad it.
And goad it.
So you get it for a turn and it can't attack you when it comes, when it goes back.
I like that.
That's a pretty good -2.
Okay, we especially... have to end this segment. This is interminable for anyone else.
For anybody else, they're like, wow, fuck this. This sucks. You know, sucks. Plugs.
Yeah. Postponies. Is a little thing that me and several other trans gals do where we're doing a retrospective of My Little Pony Friendship is Magic and the Rise of American Fascism.
Of course.
You can find us anywhere you're listening to this pod and also at smallgayhorse.com.
I do a podcast called Radio Free Tote Bag. It's a show about relationships. We also have a little bonus series on our Patreon because you're familiar with how Patreon works. Where we're doing a Frasier retrospective. So it's like this, but with me and Donovan, and we're talking about Frasier.
Yeah.
There's Frasier fan art. I'm not even kidding. We found a Frasier fan fiction archive, and we're going to dig into that at some point. So if you like this shit, you might like that shit.
Oh, speaking of, I sent you something relevant to the most recent episode. You were talking about them having a DBZ fight. And I found a picture of Niles obtaining Ultra Instinct.
I did see that. That's very good.
You're welcome.
What do you call this? Dear God, Niles, what do you call this form? Ultra Instinct, dear brother. Tell our guests I'll be late.
I love that.
Ultra
shit.
Instinct, dear brother, is so fucking good.
Ultra Instinct, dear brother, is very good.
And finally, one final plug, which maybe should have been the first plug. We have a Patreon over at patreon.com/datatransfer for all your Digimon World 1 Let's Play needs for now. When we get bored of this game, we're going to move on to another Digimon game and continue playing Digimon games until we're out of ones that we want to play, and then we will start playing other video games.
That's yeah, I got to figure out how to get a hold of Digimon World Anode and Cathode.
Okay, well, which one's...
Those are the WonderSwan games.
Oh, shit. Is there a WonderSwan emulator?
I think so.
Okay, cool. That'd be really sick.
Right? I'm very excited to
That's like some archive and preservation shit we'd be doing.
Yeah. And amazing. We're going to get the fucking the intro of Millenniummon.
Oh, yeah. I don't know who that is.
That's fine. You'll see him. He's okay, cool.
Cool. All right, little babies. This week you're going to get out there and you're going to buy the products.
Boobs.